Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 472, Living in the Flow of the Spirit. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, May 17th, 2026 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Praise the Lord. How are we today?
Blessed and highly favored.
Blessed and highly favored. Okay. Awesome. Well, did you hear what he said? It caught my attention because it just goes in with what we're going to talk about today. He said, the shalom like a river, may it just wash over you. And the title of the message today is, what is it? It is Living in the Flow of the Holy Spirit. Living in the flow of the Spirit of God. Praise God. I'm excited for this. Let's pray. Let's open our hearts and just receive what he has for us. Just position yourself to receive from his throne, from his heart for you. So, Father God, I thank you for your message today that you have from your heart to each one of your precious children. We open wide our hearts to receive from you, Abba. Teach me today. Transform me today. Come like a river with your shalom peace. Come like a river with your powerful presence. And like we sang in the song, we just want you. We just want you. Holy Spirit, take my words and minister to each heart and life. We surrender control. We yield to you, Holy Spirit. And we say, make us new. Make us new today. And we praise you. We give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So living in the flow of the Holy Spirit is an invitation to us. Who likes to receive an invitation? Like an invitation in the mail or on your phone, you know, you get invited to a party or some gathering or something. Well, this is an invitation from the Holy Spirit himself for us to surrender control. Oh, we love that. You're like, oh, I'm not sure I want that invitation. But it's good. It's good because God is good, right? So he invites us into his rest, really. You know, to stop our striving, to stop our control, our trying to figure out our lives. Because who can relate to this? We think that we know the best for our lives, right? We think that we need to hold on to it and we can plan all the things out of our life and that'll just be great and the way it'll go. And God says, I know better for your life. My ways are higher. My thoughts are greater. My thoughts are higher. And I have the best plan for your life and the best plan for your day, just today, to break it down into smaller terms, right? But we try to hold on to things and say, no, it's got to be this way, or no, it's got to be that way. And then we get into this striving and we get into this power struggle, really, with God. And who knows, when you try to struggle and fight with God, who ends up just winning it anyway? God, right? So you might as well just give it up and surrender, right? We could sing, let it go, let it go. Or, you know, okay, I'm going to be super silly today. I'll keep on track. Help me, Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to get myself centered. Praise the Lord. So as we receive this invitation to let go of the way we think things should be, to give up our striving, to give up our control of things, then we learn how to, you know, bit by bit, as we do that, as we surrender to God, to the Holy Spirit, we learn how to live a life of radical trust, radical obedience. And that's not always easy. But when we're walking, following Jesus, and we're surrendering our lives to him 1 minute at a time, 1 hour at a time, 1 day at a time, his plan is good. and the path that he has us on is good. And so we learn this radical trust, like Sister Elizabeth was talking about from the scripture that she said, we lean not on your own understanding, right? We trust you, God. We trust you. And so part of really saying, I trust you, is to let go of trusting in yourself and trusting in your own plan and just letting that go, right? We release our grip on things in order to experience his freedom, his grace, that comes from a life living surrendered to the flow of his presence, the flow of his voice, the flow of his life inside of us, right? The flow of the Holy Spirit. So, what are you waiting for? Here's your invitation. We're going to jump into the river today. Are you ready? Yes. Okay, you're ready. Praise the Lord. Jump into the river. Give up control. Just say, God, my life is yours. I am yours. I am in your hands. You ready for a small mini Hebrew lesson? Okay, one person is ready. Okay, so Donna, I'm going to speak to you. She's ready. Okay, so I learned some two Hebrew words, and together they make this really cool phrase. So does anybody get the emails from Voice of Judah Israel? Okay, has anybody been reading the Hebrew word of the week? Those are so cool. Those are awesome. So sign up, go to VOJ. The website's back there. VOJI.Israel.
VOJIsrael.org.
VOJIsrael.org. I should have been prepared with the website, but I didn't know exactly I was going to say this. But that's where this information is coming from. They give emails, and once a week, they have a Hebrew word of the week. And I'm enjoying those and saving those for future messages and things and how they fit in. So anyways, this was recent one. So the Hebrew two words, the first word is mayim. Can everyone say mayim? Mayim. Mayim. And that means water. Simple enough. Agua, right? I don't know what it is in Greek. But in Hebrew, water is mayim. And, okay, water. It's water. Not much more to say about that.
H2O.
What? H2O. There you go. Thank you. And the second word is kayim.
Kayim.
Right? So it's mayim, kayim. Well, I didn't tell you what the second word is. That's the phrase together. Mayim, kayim. Water is mayim. Kayim means living. Right? So life, or it means kayim, life or living. So it's the life-giving water or the living water. So this describes not stagnant water, not a pond, not a marsh. This is flowing, fresh, life-giving water. It's not sitting still, but it's water that moves, it refreshes, it renews, and it sustains life. And I just love how, who asked, maybe it was Elizabeth, asked, who needs to be refreshed today? And several of us raised our hands. And just the Holy Spirit just weaves things through the whole service today. And I just thought that was awesome, because get ready to be refreshed by his mayim kayim, his living water. It lives inside of you. If you're a born again believer, and those watching on social media, hello and welcome. So if you are born again and you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you have rivers of living water on the inside of you, not stagnant, right? It's the Holy Spirit that moves and restores and refreshes. And that's what I have. And that's what you have. It sustains life. So throughout the Old Testament, this becomes a picture, this mayim kayim, this living water. God himself becomes that. He is that. God is the mayim kayim. It's the picture of God himself in the life that comes from him. And so one scripture that this phrase is in, about the living water, is in Hebrews 2 verse 13. And the Lord says, he's saying here, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, number one, the fountain of living waters. And they have dug, no, this is the second way that they've committed evil against him. They have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. So God here is describing himself, Mayim Kayim, the living water, as his true source. He is the true source of life for his people. But the problem is that the people of Israel, they had sinned, right? They didn't, in this particular moment, and many times repeated in the Old Testament, right? They turned their backs on God. They didn't recognize, they weren't recognizing God as their own, their source, right? And they had turned their backs on him. They turned away from the one who is the living water, their source of life, the one who could truly satisfy them. And then, like the second evil that God's saying that they did against him was that they dug cisterns. Now, cisterns are like, it could be a well if it's underground, or it could be like a container for that holds water, right? But they were digging their own cisterns, taking matters into their own hands. Kind of goes back to the control thing that we mentioned. And those cisterns could not hold water, right? So They searched for fulfillment in other things by taking matters into their own hands. Oh, we're going to find water here. We're going to meet our needs. We're going to be satisfied. And they weren't. It fell flat, right? And who knows that every time that you take matters into your own hands and you look for something outside of the source of God to meet your needs, it just falls flat. It runs dry every time. Amen? Right. Nobody's experienced that? Oh, wow. Well, you guys are all saintly, and you just stay on the path and trusting Jesus and surrendering to him every day. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. All right. Let's not be like the people of Israel back in the Old Testament that turned their backs on God and looked to other things to satisfy their needs. So let's learn from their mistakes. And we're going to go now to a different part of the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel, kind of toward the end of it. And we're going to look at this story about Ezekiel in chapter 47, where Ezekiel has a vision of restored Israel with a life-giving river flowing from under the temple altar. Now, in all of its recorded history, Jerusalem never had such a mighty river. And a river like this that we're going to read about, that's described here in Ezekiel 47, it's odd that it would be, you know, Israel's climate and the geography, like really arid, just dry, let's just say dry, desert, right, of Israel. It was a blessing to have a river like this. This was the vision that God was showing Israel of restored Jerusalem. It would be a blessing and a miracle for a river like this, with this Mayim Kayim, living water, to be here. That would be a miracle, and it would be water brings provision, right? And so, praise the Lord. Let's just jump into this. We're going to take it in little parts. So we'll start with, of course, we're in Ezekiel 47. We'll start with verse 1 and 2. So this is Ezekiel talking, and then it says, and he has a man who's showing him these things in this vision, right? So that's the he that's mentioned here. So Ezekiel says, and then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side. Okay, so let's break this down a little bit. The temple is the symbol of God's presence. That's where God's presence was dwelling, inside the temple. And there's a flowing, trickling stream that's described here. Right? And that represents the flowing life of God. So the flow or the river, it comes from God, right? Comes from the source, God himself, in the temple there, and his house. His house. Not a government building, not the marketplace, but God's presence. He is the source of life. And that's where this river is starting from, under the foundations of the temple. Life, God's presence is flowing there. Praise God. And it says that, you know, the water came out first in a little bit, small quantity, just trickling out. And then as we go here, it's going to increase. Praise God. So let's pick up then with verse 3. Going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Okay, so 1,000 cubits is about 1,500 feet. It's about a third of a mile. Okay, so the man walks Ezekiel about that much, about a third of a mile. And then, wow, the water has increased. So no longer it's just a little trickle. Now it is ankle deep. All right, so Ezekiel went through the water. He didn't just look at it, but he entered into it. He got to fully experience the size and the depth. Okay, at the ankles. Now, I think that as we go here, the different levels of where the water comes to can represent for us, you know, a metaphor of stages and phases of our as believers, as followers of Jesus, of stages of our life, of our walk with him. So have you gotten into the river where your ankles are touching? Your ankles are immersed in the water. Ankles, you know, what do they do for the body? They provide stability. I had a really ungraceful moment the other day where we have the edge of our driveway. It just like drops off into the dirt, right? Where the concrete stops. And do you guys remember this? They're nodding back there. Yep. So I went around to the other side to, you don't need to know all the details, but anyways, I have to turn, you know, fold in the mirror of my car before we pull it into the garage. And so I went around and I did one of these, like I was on the edge of the edge of the driveway and my ankle gave out. So why am I telling you all this? Because ankles provide stability. And in that moment, my ankle did not do me a favor. I kind of did one of these and then I start laughing. I'm laughing at myself and I'm like, Santos was sitting in the driver's seat ready to pull the car in. He's like, just made a face. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I just, you know, okay. Drama. It was just drama. But the ankle provides stability, right? And so they provide balance also, which I did not have in that moment. Strengthen your ankles. We're all going to be doing ankle exercises later. And so, all right, well, so there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? If you are lacking stability in your ankles, or if this is the stage where you're at, because guess what? It's good because you're in the river. You said yes to Jesus. You said yes to his presence, and you're in, and you got to get in, right? And so there's no condemnation, but guess what? There's a lot more. There's a lot more depth, right? In Christ, in God, there's a lot deeper that we can go. And so if you are ankle deep, then Let's go further. Let's take a step. Let's walk with Ezekiel and go further into the river, further into the presence of God. Because when you're in at your ankles, you still have control, don't you? As long as your ankles are providing you support and they're not doing one of these like I experienced. But that was just a moment, right? I gained my control and got back up on my feet just fine. So there's safety there at your ankles. Like, it's not too much. I'm not in too much. I'm not, you know, one of these crazy Jesus freaks. I'm just, you know, I'm just there. It's safe there. I can rely on myself in this quite shallow water. But there's so much more. God has so much more for us. Some, you know, like I said, if you're at this point, that's okay. But let's go deeper, because you don't want to stay there forever. You don't want to stay just at your ankles when God has a whole pool for us to immerse in, you know, his whole river we want to be immersed in. Because if we're staying there, then it's like we don't want to risk losing control, right? Sometimes we're striving at this point and we're making things happen. But it's, like I said, it's not God's best. So let's go further. Let's go deeper. Ezekiel 47, verse 4. It says, again, he measured 1,000, meaning 1,000 cubits, and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again, he measured 1,000. So they went on further, a third of a mile more, and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Okay, that's all in verse 4. They go from ankle up to knees up to waist. So let's talk about the knees just for a second. Knees, what do you do on your knees?
Pray.
You pray, right? That's good. Praise the Lord. So from the point of being at your ankles, just really shallow water, you get on your knees. You're going deeper with God. Relationship. You're building that relationship with Christ. Awesome. But there's still much more, isn't there? That's the starting place. Your relationship with Christ and praying and beginning to hear his voice is only just the beginning. And there's so much more in his presence. And so getting into deeper water up to your waist is really a picture of us with the Holy Spirit going deeper, saying, I want more. I don't want to just stop right here. I want more. I want to go in and submerse myself more. Praise the Lord. There was a rapid increase in depth. In the course of a mile, there was just this miraculous and abundant provision. Like, there's depth happening and quickly. So the deeper you go, the more trust and surrender is required to live this life of radical obedience and radical surrender to the Lord. The deeper you go, the more you're going to have to surrender control. Some of us, you know, we want the fruit that comes from the deeper water, but we don't really want to let go of our own things to get there and to do it, to really let go of control. And so really sometimes we're our own worst obstacle, our own worst hindrance, because we're saying we want to go deeper with God, but then, oh, but not that. Oh, but not that thing. And we hold on. Let's go deeper. Let's trust radically that he has the best plan for us. I remember one time that Pastor Santos and I went on a trip, and we went to different parts of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And we went to this really cool state park called Taquamenon State Park. Has anyone been there? Taquamenon Falls. It's awesome. And it's this whole outdoor playground park, state park, and it has all these waterfalls, and there's like a big, looks like a, I guess, could you call it a river? I don't know what it was, but it was really wide, And you could see, we could see on the other side where we wanted to be of these waterfalls. And you could hike all the way around the side. Well, when I married my husband, I signed up for adventure that I didn't realize. And so he decides that we don't want to walk, we don't want to hike all the way around however far to get to the other side. So he says, well, we're going to cross this river. And we saw some people that were crossing. And I thought, well, that's really foolish. And he's like, yeah, that's what we're going to do. And I was like, okay, well, all right then. So I better just surrender control then right now. And so this is really the humorous part of this story is that when I asked him this morning, how deep was that water really that we crossed? And we did make it through to the other side, praise the Lord. So if you ask him how deep the water was, he said it was between knee and waist. Kind of like mid-leg. What I remember was like above my waist, like between waist and shoulder, like up to here, right? And so that in itself is really funny because that explains to you how I felt. I felt out of control because I felt that I was surrendering not only to what he wanted to do, but once we stepped into this water and it was Mayim Kayim. It was living water, okay? It wasn't just stagnant. It was strong in different places. And so we set out, and I'm kind of like holding on to him, and I'm sure we had backpacks and all the things, right? Okay, but he says the water was like here, like to knees. But it's moving, and there's rocks underneath. And of course, there's slimy fish and other things that are moving around. And I'm a city girl. Apparently, people think I'm a city girl. So we'll just go with it. Because it works in this setting. And so I'm like, okay. And so then at one point, in each step, you have to be very careful, right? In each step, you're giving up control to put your foot down in place and trust that you're going to not be swallowed up into a pit in this water or something. And so that actually happened to Santos. I'm glad it happened to him. But he came back up, so praise the Lord. But like he stepped and he like, did you submerge? I think your head probably went under the water. Like he went down like really far. And I'm like, is this really a good idea? Maybe this isn't a good idea. We can just turn back, you know? But when you say I do and you say yes, I'm in it. Okay, I'm in it. I'm following. This is going to be good. Hopefully our lives are spared this day by the grace of God. And so I guess that's all I wanted to say about that. I'm just giving you a picture of the increasing depth of water and how I felt a bit out of, you know, that I was losing control, that it was like, okay. Now, it never got deep enough that we just decided to, you know, just swim. You know, we had all our stuff with us too, so there go your snacks if you decide to just swim. And you guys know how I am about snacks, so I wasn't about to give that up quite, you know, at that point. I mean, if we're only talking, well, if you ask him down here, if you ask me, it was more up here, you know. But either way, it was getting deeper, right? The water was deep. All right, let's move on. So verse 5, Ezekiel 47, verse 5. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. All right, so the river is too deep to just walk through. He had to now swim. He had to just, okay, what do you do when you swim? You lift up your feet, right? Like, it's over. You're no more. I'm controlling each step. I can control where I go from A to B. Even if I'm stepping on something that's uneven, I'm still walking and you know, maneuvering myself. When you swim, you pick up your feet and you just go, right? You're just floating. You're allowing the flow, the presence of God, the water in this case, to carry you. Praise God. Go with the flow. I almost named the message, go with the flow. But that sounds, you know, that phrase in the world sounds like, oh, just go with the flow, like wherever the wind takes you. No, go with the flow of the Holy Spirit. So that's why I didn't use that as my title. But anyways, we want to go with the flow of the Holy Spirit, right? Lift up your feet and just swim. Striving ends, control is released. In a river that no one can cross, you can't go, like I said, in a controlled way from A to B. You have, if you want to be in the flow, you've got to let go and just swim and pick up your feet. Our only option is to trust God. It's just to trust God. So apply this to your situation, you know, whatever it might be. Just trust God. I'm going to say it, just, you know, reaffirm what Sister Elizabeth said. Just trust God. Yield, pick up your feet and surrender and go with the flow of the Holy Spirit. Allow the flow of His presence to carry you. And it might look very different than what you think or what you imagined for that day or for the hour or for your life, right? But it'll be good. And He's teaching you in the process to trust Him, to hold on to Him instead of holding on to your own thought, your own way of doing it. So what happens next? Verse 6 through 9. Ezekiel 47. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he led me back to the bank of the river. As I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish. For this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. Okay, I like this part. So there's many trees along the side of the river, right? Trees show or illustrate the proof of life. There's life there. Something's growing. There's roots, right? There's a trunk. There's leaves, whatever kind of trees they were, but it's proof of life. And that reminds me of Psalm 1. Anyone think of Psalm 1 when you heard that, right? Blessed is the man who walks in the who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Wow. Praise God. We can be planted by the streams of water, living water, the Mayim Kayim, and we will yield fruit in our season when we are walking in fear of the Lord, right? When we are obeying God and we are not standing in the way of sinners, we're not scoffing and mocking people, right? We are not taking the path of the wicked. We are fearing God and reverencing God, that and meditating on His law day and night, His word, right? We will be like these strong trees where life is flowing along the bank of the river, and we give off fruit in its season, fruit for people to come and eat, fruit for people to be nourished, right? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So go back to Ezekiel 47, the 6 through 9 that we were looking at. So there is miraculous healing power in this river, right? The lifeless water of the Dead Sea was healed. And it says that there's fish that are here. Fish are living, and the salty water becomes fresh. There is healing. There's restoration even happening with these waters. And it's also a symbol of God's present work of healing and restoring through the gospel. Like, if you think of the Dead Sea being where the world is in sin, right? The wages of death, or the wages of sin are death, right? Dead Sea. Nothing much happening there that sounds like living water. But here, where God's healing presence, his river is flowing and there's trees along the bank, this is where God is doing a healing work, a restoring work, and to the world, bringing sinners back to life through his presence, through his restoration, through salvation, right? And then it says, I love this part, everything lives where the river flows. Did you get that? Everything lives where the river flows. That means dead things come alive when you're in the river. When you're in the presence of God, everything dead comes alive. He is our source of life, and he brings us to life, full life. Mayim Kayim, living water in us. If there's not life happening in maybe one area of your life, then it might be because there's no flow. Where is the flow of the presence of God stopped in your life? Who have you given control to? Are you still holding on to control? So that might be something to look at, right? Because where the it says Ezekiel 47 verse, the last one we read, verse 9, the end of verse 5 or 9. Ezekiel 47, verse 9. Wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish. For this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh, so that everything will live where the river goes. Charity Gale has a song, so when I read this, I think of everything lives where the river flows. Come alive, come alive. That's the song. Praise the Lord. Everything lives. Dead things will come alive in that flow where we've given up our control, our way of doing it. My way or the highway. I want the dead things in my life to be resurrected and to come alive because I have the resurrection power living on the inside of me. But if I'm holding on to control of things, then I'm not allowing the resurrection power of Jesus to flow. I'm stopping it essentially, right? Because God has given, Jesus has delegated authority to me, power to me in my life. But he's got a best plan for me. And so if I'm holding on to control of things, I'm not allowing the full life. I'm not partnering with the life of the Holy Spirit. If I'm saying, no, it's got to be this way. Well, then maybe I'm going to be stagnant in that area that I'm holding on to and there's no flow. So if you can relate to that, if you can identify, go back to where God told you something, right? To do something, obey what he told you to do. Go back to that place and ask God. He will show you. Is there something that I'm hanging on to control? What do I need to surrender so that I can get back in your flow? I don't want to be stagnant. Praise the Lord. So Ezekiel 47, 10, verse 10 to 12 now. It says, fishermen will stand beside the sea. From En-Gedi to En-Eglaim, it will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of very many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. And on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month. I want fresh fruit every month.
Amen.
Right? Spiritually speaking. Well, real, in the physical realm too, that's nice, right? Fresh fruit every week. Praise the Lord. Because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Wow. Because the water for them, for these fresh these trees that produce fresh fruit. It's flowing from the sanctuary. Did you get that? From the presence of God, from the temple, and produces fruit in my life. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. Praise God. That first part, though, it said, verse 10, as the, it said there would be very many kinds of fish and a lot of fish there. And the fishermen are standing there and there's, maybe not like this, they're spreading their nets because there's lots of fish, right? So they're not just doing one at a time, you know, reeling, casting and reeling it in. They're putting out the net. That speaks to me of evangelism. That speaks to me of, with the presence of God in my life, going after those other fish, going after the lost, right? That have been living and swimming in the Dead Sea. Well, I'm going to go in and because I have the living water flowing in me. I'm going to go in and I'm going to get some of those fish with these nets and I'm going to bring them into the kingdom, bring them into the power of the gospel. Bring them in and say, come follow me as I follow Jesus. You know, discipleship, making disciples, right? That's what it's about. And it says their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fall. They will bear fresh fruit every month. All of us, we have the power of the living God on the inside of us. So we should be producing fresh fruit every month. Really, every day, every week, right? But maybe you don't see the progress day by day. But looking at a month's time, there should be fruit coming from our lives. Praise the Lord. The life produces fruit effortlessly and regularly. So when we are in the flow, not the stagnant water, and we've surrendered control in our lives and we're yielding to Christ and we have just, you know, given up trying to control and walk in the river and we're just swimming, then we don't have to strive to make fruit. You don't see the apple trees anywhere, apple trees or banana trees. I'm going to try to make an apple today. You know, it just, there's life there in that tree, and it produces the fruit that it was made to produce. And so fruit in our lives could be fish, right, that have been in the Dead Sea. Other people, we have been called to be become fishers of men, right? And so we're going to, operate in the flow of the presence of God in our lives, giving up control of how I want to spend my day. You know, when I'm at the whatever, I'm at the Walmart, you know, and I see somebody and I go and, you know, we should like, okay, that's control of time. And, you know, well, they look like they've been swimming in the Dead Sea, maybe, you know, and so they need a net. They need a chance to hear the gospel about living water because they might just grab a hold. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And they too then can get revived, restored, can live, come out of the marshy, stagnant water places, the swamp places, and experience the life and the flow of God. And they too will begin to produce fruit in their lives, fruit that's regularly being produced. Praise the Lord. The fruit, it says it won't fail. And the leaves don't wither. Leaves are for healing. So the presence of God naturally brings fruit, life, and healing to us. Praise the Lord. So let's put this on a practical spin on it. How do we get into the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Well, I think a really good first step is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have an opportunity today. And if you're watching or listening, write to us. Let us know if you need help with that, if you want prayer for that. But being baptized in the Holy Spirit will connect you to the power source, really. Right? The living water of God in our lives. So, We invite the Holy Spirit to activate and baptize us. And we had some previous messages. So if you have more questions, I'm not going to re-preach it. But we had some previous messages in this Holy Spirit in Us series that you can go back and listen to, where we talk about the what that means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But that is a really good first step for how to get into the flow of the Holy Spirit. It's like once, you know, the electrical system in a house or a building gets installed, because we have the Holy Spirit, but until you turn the lights on, the lights aren't all fully on. Like what the house has been wired to do isn't doing it until we activate the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because when we receive Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. We don't have the fullness. We have it, the indwelling. We don't have the infilling. And so it's like, okay, this building has been wired for lights, for electricity. Now we have to flip the switch, because you wouldn't say, you know, call the electrical company and say, well, the lights aren't on. Well, the wiring's been done? Yes, the wiring's been done. Well, you gotta activate it. It's like when people are having computer problems, did you turn it on? You know, did you turn the light on? Oh, I have to turn, okay, that's me. God doesn't do that part. He's a gentleman. And so I invite the Holy Spirit to baptize me, to get the infilling, all of it. So now the lights come on. Wow, a believer with the lights on is awesome, because that's his design for us, to be fully alive with the full presence of God in our lives. So that would be step one. Now, another way of how to get into the flow of the Holy Spirit: surrender, die. We all love that. Die to yourself, die and surrender. Not my way, but your way, Lord, your way to do it. There's a before and an after when we do that, especially with bigger things in our lives. There's a before and an after. But that striving and that it's not working, and you're trying to fit a square peg in a round hole, and it's just not working. I probably could write a book on this stuff in my life. So I understand these things. I don't want you to think that I'm just standing up here and preaching this at you without having lived it. I've lived it. Praise the Lord. And surrender to God every time will produce fruit, because he just knows better. And it's also about surrendering your emotions, how you feel about things, your feelings, because feelings are fickle and they're up and down, and it'll take you all over the place like a roller coaster. And I always say, I'm getting off the roller coaster, because this is like whiplash, you know, and nobody wants whiplash. That's not good. So surrender. So be baptized in the Holy Spirit. These are ways that you can get into the flow of the Holy Spirit in a practical sense in your life. Surrender. That's a heart posture, right? Also, along with that, obedience. Oh, we love that one too. Because when we don't obey, really what we're doing and what we're saying is, I know better. My way is better, God. Like we try to help God, or even worse, we just say, my way is better. It's got to be this way for my life. That is pride. That is idolatry of my own self, really, when we think about it, right? So obedience, laying it down and saying, God, I will obey. I will obey you and what you say to do. Okay, removing distractions. This is big, right? Because there's so many things that can distract us in our life, just in general, but our life with God and our life with doing ministry and doing things. But is our focus really, sometimes we get so busy doing things, and they're good things for our family or serving the church, but is my focus really on God? And am I doing what he told me to do? Which is, if you don't know what he's told you to do, he's told you to go and make disciples. Okay, so there's a word for you, for whoever's asking for a word. We have to shift our focus on God so that we're not distracted by all other things. Keep your eyes on Jesus, right? And set other things aside and seek God. One way to do that, fasting. That'll be a fast track to getting rid of distractions and really seeking God with your whole heart. Like if you're really serious about seeking God and removing distractions, well then stop eating, right? Starve your flesh, and that'll help. And that'll be fast track, because your flesh and your emotions and all the carnal stuff just gets stripped away, right? And you say, you're not leading the show anymore, flesh, right? It's the presence of God, the Spirit of God in me that is responding to God, to the Holy Spirit. And that can get you unstuck and get you undistracted, I will say. Help you focus on Jesus. Another one, get in his presence. Oh, get in his presence, right? His flow is his presence. If we're talking about getting into the flow of the Holy Spirit, it is his presence. So spend time with him. Hear his voice. Because how can you obey if you don't know what he's told you to do or what he's telling you to do? So in order to obey, I probably should change the order of the way I said this, because spending time should be like right after being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Spend time in his presence. Hear his voice. Read his word. Meditate on it day and night so that you can be like the tree planted by streams of water whose leaves never fail, right? And is healing for other people. Praise the Lord. How do you get in his presence, and with what posture? Well, Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, right? And his courts with praise. So when you enter his presence with gratitude, that'll just open up the door for you. Go in not with a complaining heart. Why this, God? In my life, should it look like this? And I've had to lay some stuff down and get rid of that and just say, I am thankful, God, for what I do have. Look at all the blessings that I do have. Praise the Lord. Another one, get around people who are in the flow. You see them swimming and they're like, oh, God spoke this to me or whatever, and it's not from a prideful heart. They're swimming in the flow of the Holy Spirit. Get where they're going. Get where they're going. Be around them. Hear faith talk. That helps tremendously. Where is their movement in the Spirit, right? Movement, good, the Spirit of God, right? Fruit, where are miracles happening? Go to a place where the river is flowing in people's lives, and you can see that. That will help you, and it'll splash on you. Praise the Lord. And you get jumped, like, not dragged in. You ever been on a deck of a pool and somebody's jumping into the water and they just grab your hand? Like, you're going to get taken in there with them. If you put yourself in the right place at the right time, you're going to get in the flow. Praise the Lord, because that's where they're going. Awesome. What happens when you get into the flow of the Holy Spirit? A grace like you've never experienced before. And that's the good part that I can tell you about. That's the testimony part, because obedience, surrender. Yeah, your flesh doesn't like that, and that hurts. But you know what? You'll be carried by the presence and the grace of God. Praise the Lord. Things will start to shift. Everything will be moving, not stagnant anymore. Hallelujah. Things are moving because I've given up control, and God is able to maneuver things in my life because I said, your way, Holy Spirit, your way, Lord, use me, right? And then you start to move in the flow. His grace moves you. Praise the Lord. The flow is removing your striving effort and allowing yourself to be led by the presence of God. Now, that doesn't mean laziness or like passivity or I'm just sitting back. You're not just sitting around waiting for God, but you're positioning yourself to experience what he has for you. You're giving up your own stuff, your own way, your own thoughts, your own feelings, and you're saying, God, here I am. And so, yeah, there might be some waiting on God, but you're waiting on God, right? It's not just, I'm sitting around just doing nothing, twiddling my thumbs, right? Get in the flow of the river. It won't make sense to your natural mind. That's the hard part. Get your mind out of the way. But there will be a grace like you've never experienced before. And the temptation will come, right? What do we do when the temptation comes to take matters back into your own hands and say, no, I got to do it. I got to do it this way. Maybe it's about your children, you know, the your children's decisions in their lives, and you're praying for their salvation or whatever, and you try to control things. Well, resist that temptation. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee, right? Trust God. When you realize, all you've got to do when you realize you've gotten out of the flow is, because you're in a stagnant river all of a sudden, like things are stuck again and not moving, the striving and the disobeying, it's an opportunity once again to surrender. That's the sweet thing, that repentance and surrender isn't just you get one chance and you've blown it all. That God is so merciful and so good that you just get back on. Surrender, repent, and get back in the flow. I'm sorry, God, I tried to take it back. I tried to get control again of my kids or my work situation or whatever it is. I release control again to you, and I want to swim again. I just want to swim around in your flow, in your grace. It doesn't mean that there aren't any challenges, but it does mean that in the middle of them, there's a grace and a supernatural current. You felt the current under the water, right? A current. That's the grace of God, his love, his protection, that's just going to carry you. And I remember this, carry you and cover you. And so even when you make mistakes, you are covered in his grace. And so I remember, you know, this particular, I mean, I could tell you a lot about a lot of different times where I had to surrender control and to really get in his flow and how that worked in my life. But, you know, believing with Pastor Santos for us to be parents, and how, you know, there was like a striving, what do I have to do, God? And what do I have to do? And blah, you know, and it's not working, and it's not working. And when I surrendered control and had to keep doing that all along and still do, praise the Lord, you know, things just started to move. And I heard God's voice, and that's key, right? I got alone with God. Well, many times, there were many times where I was just on my face and just surrendering that even like desire to be a mom, right? And I know that desire comes from God, but just giving up the control of it has to be my way and it's got to look my way, because God's done it much different than I ever thought, you know, or would have planned for myself. But so good, so good. And as soon as when I heard God's voice about that God had adoption as part of our story, this is a plug for mission trips. Go away with pastors to a mission trip, because God will speak to you. God will speak to you. And he spoke to me when we were in Trinidad and Tobago a few years back in 23, I think it was. And God used an experience, and I won't go into all that story, but I came home with the seed in my heart, the calling for adoption that I didn't know until a week or so later. And then the dam let out and I'm in the flow. And we began to, you know, research about adoption. And oh my gosh, as soon as you open this door, it's like this whole world that I had no idea about. And, you know, adoption can look many different ways. There's so many ways that it can look. And it was like, okay, God, you lead us. But in the whole time, in the whole of that process, so much grace, the grace of God, the grace of God. And yeah, it looked a lot different. Looked a lot different, us, our journey to becoming parents, than I had thought. But the grace of God, and praise the Lord, you know, praise the Lord that he has put us together with this amazing child. And, you know, he's for us and we're for him. And I'll tell you, I'm releasing control every day. Like, it doesn't stop, you know, up to the day up until I became a mom. You know, it's like it keeps going. Praise the Lord. And but just that testimony, I share that testimony to just say that, yeah, it's obeying and surrendering and breaking to yourself and what you think. When you do that, you swim and you experience the covering and the protection of God all through the process. It wasn't easy or without difficulties, that whole like adoption process once we decided that that's what we were going to do. But God's grace covered us. God's grace walked us through. And praise the Lord. We set our faith and said we're not going to have an interruption of a placement once we match. God, we want the child that you have for us. And you know, we would call that out and say, whatever their names are, God, you know, that's, you know, we bless our children and all the things. And that's how it was. That's how it was. Praise God. He's so good. He's so faithful. And so if that doesn't convince you, I don't know. Come talk to me and I'll tell you more of the story. But it's so good when we can give up control, surrender control. So I ask you today, where in the river are you? Because all you need to do is just step in to his flow and take a step deeper into his flow, because his living water is always available to you. Keep growing. Don't stop. There is fruit for you and fruit that remains. And I felt like as I was, you know, preparing this and specifically reading about from verse, where is it? Where it talks about the fruit. Let's see, Ezekiel 47, like verse 12. I felt like this was also, this is a word, I mean, it's for all of us individually, but this is a word also for us at my Father's house, thinking in the context of the healing center. So what, you know, in the context of the healing center and this vision that, you know, we've shared and that we've talked about, what do you need to do to get off the side or get deeper if you're in ankle deep with your heart in that vision? Like, join the flow, because God's going to be doing something with that. He already is. And so get off the bank of the river and come into the flow where healing, literal healing, is going to be happening, right? It says, and on the banks on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month. Well, isn't that interesting? Right now, we're having healing services every month. But it doesn't have to stop. It doesn't have to be a one-time-of-month event, right, on healing service day, which that is next weekend, so don't miss that. That, you know, if you haven't been to any of those services, that could be your step, your first step to get in, get into the flow, come to the healing services. Oh, but I came to church in the morning. Well, come in the afternoon. How badly do you want it? You've got to give up something. Jump into the river. Let's go. Let's flow, right? Because that's where fruit is. That's where the life is. That's where trees are going to give off food for other people. And it says, they will bear fresh fruit every month because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. What we are giving out, what when we are in the flow of the river of God with the vision of the healing center, we are carriers of his presence. We have the living water in us and we're swimming in the flow, and God's going to use that. And for other people that come, the leaves are shade for people. The leaves are healing for people. That's what it says there. And I just felt that strongly to release that word over us as a family, as a church family, as a body. Jump into the river. Get in the flow of the healing center, because you don't want the current to take it and all of us, and you're left over here going, there's a healing center? What can I do? Well, jump in. We're going to be like the ones standing on the deck, that the ones, I'm ready to jump in. I'm going to grab you. So everybody grab a hand, and everybody's going to get wet in the river. Praise the Lord. The river of God, of what he's doing, because life is flowing from the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Let the flow of his presence carry you deeper. And I've preached a long time. Are you guys done? Praise the Lord. Let's just wrap this up, and then I want all of us to respond. We're just going to respond to God. Let's read John 7, verse 38. John 7, 38 says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." There's the Mayim Kayim again, the living water, not stagnant, but water that's moving, water that's flowing, water that's refreshing, water that is restoring. It's his presence in our lives. It's us surrendering control to him. It reminds us that faith is not meant to be dry, right? That faith is not meant to be mechanical, or I just come to church and I just do things. Faith is your heart. It's giving your life, laying your life down for God, right? Because it's not supposed to be empty and dull and boring. Life with the Holy Spirit, life with the presence of God is exciting, and you'll get to swim around and you'll get to do flips under the water. Praise the Lord, right? He invites us into this ongoing, life-giving relationship with him all the time. Your heart, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Sometimes we don't realize how thirsty we are for that living water until maybe things become difficult, right? But those sometimes are the moments at the same time that Yeshua himself, Jesus, meets us so powerfully when we're ready to just give up control and say, not on my own strength, not me trying to steer and drive the boat anymore. Boat makes sense since we're talking about river, right? We'll go with the boat water theme. So get out of the boat, let Jesus drive. Hallelujah. All you need to do is step into the flow of God, because it's always available to each one of us. It's available to you, so step in. The presence of God naturally, the presence of God moving in your life will just naturally, without you doing effort and striving, will produce fruit and healing. And dead things come to life.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.